Sisters and brothers, my parents immigrated from Holland when they were still teenagers. No matter what country you immigrate from, you will know which country it was. Because I knew my parents were from Holland, because my mom basically created a house from Holland and transferred it to our home in Canada. We had spotless white doilies. We had Delft blue figurines. We had those lace curtains in the top half of the windows and a thick Dutch tablecloth that looked suspiciously like a carpet on our kitchen table. I grew up convinced everyone had soup and buns on Sunday and a glass of wine in the afternoon, and after that, all the dads would take a nap. That was my life. That need to create a familiar home is a natural tendency in a strange country. When there is no normal, there is a safety to be had, some comfort to be found in placing familiar things around you when you are far from home. But my home now looks different than my mom's, and her grandchildren's homes even more so. That tension between holding on to what is familiar and solid, what we know for sure, or growing and changing, they're always with us. I always thought we need to balance the two. But we read in our passage, Paul exhorting the Philippians to break with the past, to let the loss happen. Forget what lies behind. He tells them twice, press on. I don't think Paul is telling us our past is unimportant. We remember in the Lord's Supper, we honor those who have modeled a Christian walk of life for us. We give credit to long dead theologians who have shaped the CRC. I think what Paul is asking is it enough to know that? Is it enough to know God is in control, our life is in his hands, our salvation is sure? Though we might accept it as enough, God loves to give us more, loves to lavish us, fill us up with more of his Spirit, offer us cup running over depth of grace and relationship and beauty. Paul's concern is that we get the profound love of God. He doesn't try to scare us that we might lose Jesus. It's the very opposite. He's afraid people won't fully grasp the pure, joyous possibility of Jesus. His focus isn't on people avoiding hell. His fear is that they won't know the endless wonder of heaven coming down. Paul is saying who we were is not who we are today because of God. Because God is always drawing us to himself. We are always being led into a future to be conformed to Christ more and more, to become stronger, to become wiser, to know him and ourselves more and more. That's why he talks about pressing on. There are so many blessings yet waiting for us. There will always be more work to do. Work? Always? Wait a minute. Isn't heaven supposed to be our eternal home where we can finally take a break and rest because our work is done? The goal of the gospel is not our perfection. The goal of the gospel will give us life and energy and desire because the goal of the gospel is to know Christ fully. That is eternal life. Like Daryl Johnson says, eternal life is not just long life, life that doesn't end. Eternal life is the life God has. Eternal life is the life God is. And because we are citizens of heaven, we can experience that life at work, in us, here, now. Paul says, hold fast to that. Hold fast to the vision you have already attained. Because the kingdom, the heaven that we are a part of building, is radical. So radical, it can be upsetting. Because it's going to grow. And sometimes heaven seems very, very far away. And we feel homesick for it and say, Lord, come quickly. Earth and its anxiety seem to be pressing on us and affecting our lives more than a vision of heaven on earth. We are part of the structure of the world. We are not exempt from the storms of life. Their cares and responsibilities can overwhelm us. Paul knows we are not there yet. He knows sometimes all we can see is the not yet. The already of the kingdom seems a dim, faraway dream as our pain and struggles can increase instead of decrease. And yet, strange as it may seem, it is because the kingdom is breaking in that we see and are even part of confrontations between death and life, between good and evil, between what is and the hope of what can be. And evil does not want growth to happen. It wants us to believe in limits, accept less from life, wants us to believe everything good and needed is impossible beyond our hope and ability. And the only way things will be is the way they are right now. Do not accept this lie, because it is a lie. Our salvation, our Savior, does not come from there. He does not come from a world with a limited way of thinking. He comes from an infinite, all things possible heaven, filled with love and grace and mercy, and brings it down to this earth. That is the truth about the world we live in. Our reality is God's kingdom coming. Not maybe, or could it, or how possibly, it is. We are expecting it, and we are living in it. We can expect him to be completely involved in the joy and pain of our lives and working out his redemption through it all. Jesus can transform the body of our humiliation. In other words, all that we can't do, all the sin we are anxious about, all that we fear, whatever has the power to conform us to a world of doubting God is at work, Jesus transforms trembling hearts that are dying for want of solace and hope. He can resurrect them, because all the powers that we fear, all the powers that are greater than us, are subject to him. That truth keeps us strong, not just to survive life, but to live each day with peace and security. God is bringing heaven down. It is not only his deep desire to do so, he is able to do it. And that unconquerable hope is at work within you, to give you more life, more peace, more joy. Amen.